Mary Ann, good morning.
Hello.
So to start off with, you have studied a huge amount on PTSD. Who are the groups of people in our society who are most affected?
It really begins in early childhood. So it is the people that have that chronic trauma, often by caregivers, and a lot of abuse. And so they grow up into adults that often are in situations that are more dangerous, whether it be like domestic violence, or they can sometimes enter professions like the police force. For example, women that have been sexually assaulted are more likely to become police officers. And we see the same in the military. It is actually the soldiers that the ones that develop PTSD often have histories of childhood violence. So a lot of the story about occupations really does begin a lot earlier, and it's that part of what happens in childhood that seems to be so predictive of a PTSD diagnosis when they're an adult.
And so just going off that, you know, obviously you mentioned people who may have suffered sexual abuse, domestic violence, all sorts of different traumas. Could you tell us, I've heard complex trauma is a phrase that has been thrown around in relation to PTSD. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So complex trauma is PTSD, but it's a specific kind of it. And it's where people have those real feelings about that they have real problems regulating their emotions, and they feel that they're worthless and have incredible amounts of shame and really think that they should have done a lot more when the trauma occurred and beat themselves up a lot about that. So there's that real shame, guilt and failure that they look back on and think, oh, I could have handled that so much better. And this makes it really difficult for them to have close relationships to others and creates a lot of stress for them in emotional relationships. So there's a lot of sort of relational issues that have to be ironed out in therapy when we manage to get these people into therapy, because we know that people that have the early trauma are four times less likely to end up in therapy, even though they're symptoms are often a lot more pervasive.
And so why do you think that there is such a stigma in regards to PTSD in our society?
I think that people haven't really even put two and two together about the fact that certain groups have PTSD. Like with the sex workers, you know, the rates are around about 40%. We know in some Indigenous communities, the rates are around 55%, you know, really high, and there's also a high use of drugs and alcohol in both those communities. So people often see that without realising, oh, that's self-medication. There's these huge levels of trauma. Nobody's done anything about resolving that, and there's been no outreach. So those people are just really struggling with those intense symptoms of PTSD and the complex type of it without any assistance. And, you know, that's why we have often big drug and alcohol problems in particular communities, as well as just more generally. You know, childhood trauma is a really big part of that picture.
And so you have mentioned therapy earlier on, but is that the best way for us to go about treating this issue?
Oh, absolutely. So it would be screening and finding out that people actually have the diagnosis, and then really sensitive treatment, because one of the big issues for anyone that has experienced that relational trauma, and often from people that were meant to really care and love them, like their parents or their partner, is really repairing that, and they need to feel really safe to do that. So what we normally see with PTSD is they do exposure therapy and they make people face their fears, but this can actually be very destabilizing for somebody that really doesn't have those skills to be able to regulate their emotions, and it can, you know, throw them into quite a spin. So it's often quite lengthy therapy that's required, and a lot of people with complex trauma and complex post-traumatic stress disorder will have the diagnosis for life. And the reason for that is because, you know, there isn't that therapeutic intervention. But therapy is effective. The right kind of therapy is effective in reducing those symptoms.
And what do you mean by the right kind of therapy? Is that just on an individual basis, or is that potentially something that could be looked at holistically?
There is lots of trauma-informed practice, so it's really looking at that wider issue and getting to that history. Because what happens, for instance, if you're a soldier, you've returned from war, and people are focusing on the fact that it's that conflict-related trauma. But what underlies that might be this real chronic trauma from childhood and strong physical abuse. And so unless the whole picture is looked at and those issues are sensitively addressed, it might actually be quite difficult to resolve the conflict-related trauma, because these things are all interrelated. And when a soldier walks into a therapist's office, you know, that's what they're really dealing with. And there's not that awareness that actually this is a really long story that started in childhood.
And so just before I do let you go, Marianne, looking forward into the future a little bit, do you see perhaps the stigma surrounding PTSD lessening in the future?
I absolutely hope so, and particularly for our vulnerable groups. It's so important, and I think that now complex PTSD is going to be recognised in the International Classification of Diseases from next year, that should hopefully see a shift in recognition.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning. It's an incredibly important issue and one that probably does deserve a lot more attention than it gets currently.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for letting me speak with you.